your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to continue to focus on the volatility in a wide range of markets that we saw throughout this week and try to draw some clarity from where these markets might be going in both the short and long-term sense. I'm chatting with Dana Lyons right now, and he is a guy that I like to go to when it comes to balancing out short-term perspectives with some of the more long-term perspectives. Dana is a fund manager based out of Chicago. And Dana, let's start with the U.S. equity markets. They went through a pretty rocky week, especially in the middle of the week with all that bad and weak data, disappointing data, I guess we should say, out of the U.S. We saw it was almost a 900-point move down by the Dow just in 2 days, and then a little bit of a rebound on Thursday. But still, the overwhelming factor is that some of the data in the U.S. was weak, and that was what was driving markets lower. What's your perspective on that short-term breakdown? It didn't really break to any short-term lower lows, but it definitely had people worried. Do you think this is part of a bigger short-term or even longer-term breakdown for the markets?
I think the underlying shift right now is to a longer-term breakdown in the markets, yes. But that's probably more on below the surface right now. What we saw in the large cap indices especially is not that big of a deal. Yeah, the Dow numbers are big. You know, anytime you see a thousand points in a couple of days, I mean, that sounds like a huge deal. But in the grand scheme of things, not a big deal yet. Nothing compared to what is likely to transpire maybe later down the road this year and certainly over the next couple of years, we think. But under the surface, you're seeing, you know, you had that bounce back, the snap back in late August, early September in small caps and the broad market. And everyone got all giddy about, you know, the return of the small caps and the breath thrust, so to speak. We were not buying it and still not buying it. And indeed, you saw lower highs again in those indices. And now those ones are certainly breaking down more than the large caps. So under the surface, you're seeing a lot more weakening in the broad, in the overall stock market, which is, you know, what we care about. In the large caps, in the near term, we still think, despite the volatility, we still think they got a shot at moving to new highs again, maybe one more last hurrah blow off type of move that could certainly be a false breakout. And then you might begin something more serious on the downside. So short term, you've got risk both ways. I mean, I wouldn't be shorting very aggressively here with the prospects for one more blow off. But certainly down the road, we are not very constructive on the broad stock market.
Okay, fair enough. You know what? You're not alone in being a bit worried about the broad stock market, but it was interesting at least to see that little bit of rebound after those two horrible days. Any significance, too, of this breakdown happening at the very beginning of the month and the fourth quarter? What has happened in the past is breakdowns, more significant breakdowns in markets happen in this fourth quarter and have started in early October again. Any correlations you're drawing there?
It can be a seasonally turbulent time. Obviously, October, September is actually the worst market. October gets a bad rap, but October has typically been more of a month for scares and hyper volatility. But at the end of the day, it's been more of a bottoming month than strictly a down month. September has been much worse. October is a month of bottoming action, but we have seen obviously a lot of scares that have occurred in the month of October, and would not surprise us to see that again for whatever reason. That is the time of year that we've often seen that. So it doesn't surprise us to see that volatility. Again, it cuts both ways often during the month, so we're not throwing the towel in on the long side of our portfolio yet, but Obviously, this volatility is not the first time we've seen some shocks and volatility during the month of October.
Yeah, that is true. And you know what? Even looking at something like the VIX, it peaked out right around 20, just over 20. And that isn't even the high for the year on the VIX. So fear really, it has started to creep into the market, but not to the extent that we saw it even earlier in the middle part of the year. Just one quick follow-up question here. You did say that you're not throwing in the towel on some of the long opportunities here of a short-term pop in the markets. What sort of a breakdown would you need to see to actually throw in the towel?
There would have to be more technical damage on the and the large cap charts. As far as breadth measures and our indicators that we keep a close tab on that comprise our risk models, the intermediate term risk model again, those are already on shaky footing. So overall, we're still a little leery of the market in the long term, obviously. And this thesis about a short-term pop and short-term blow-off in the large caps is more or less generated based off of the charts. So it would take a little bit more, it would take significant more damage done on the charts to get us off of that notion of a possible one more blow-off. So, but again, the backdrop, the overall backdrop is not that constructive, not that strong. It probably can't take a lot more technical damage on the charts, or else it might snowball into something more serious.
Okay. Yeah. Key distinction there, that short-term potential pop is only short-term. Longer-term, you are seeing a breakdown in a lot of the factors and data that you look at. Let's talk about the precious metals too, because you actually were sharing with me off mic that you had trimmed a couple of your precious metals positions after that pop on Wednesday. What's the strategy for the precious metals?
We're still overall we're constructive on precious metals in the intermediate to longer term, silver, especially gold. We still are long those. We're still long gold. We're still long gold miners. We're still of the buy the dip mentality in the intermediate term. In the short term, we did break some support levels on gold and GLD and SLV and the gold miners GDX. So in the snapback earlier this week or midweek, we did trim back some of our position there, as we do see potential in the near term for further retracement, further pullback there. So we think we can get those portions of the positions back at better prices down the line here a little bit. So we just took some profits out off the table, fully expecting to reallocate more money back to them at better prices.
Now, do you care to share what some of these prices might be? What are some of your lower targets for, say, something like GLD or even GDX?
Let's see, GLD, roughly the 136 level, we'd be adding more, probably around below that, probably down near about 133 we'd be looking at. So, I mean, you're talking about a decent drop. That might be close to $10 from where we are now on the GLD. As far as GDX, we're looking, I don't have the chart in front of me, but offhand, I'm thinking it's the 25.5 level where we would be adding something back to GDX. So again, this is one of those short-term waggles and then otherwise overall bullish scenario for gold miners and the whole complex.
Well, for traders too, these short-term waggles are quite noteworthy, I think, because we hadn't seen them for quite a while in the precious metals, but now we are starting to see, I think, more traders and even investors take positions, but then also clear out some positions on this volatility. Let's also talk about the energy sector too, because it really wasn't all that long ago when oil got popped because of those attacks in Saudi on the Saudi oil fields, but those gains have all but been given up. And I think some of the crude moves can also be blamed on this weak US and global data, but what's your bias when you are looking at something like the crude chart?
In the longer term, our bias is certainly to the downside. We're not that constructive. We're not active in the crude market or the broad commodity complex overall, but in general, we're pretty fairly negative on that complex, and would certainly be using until much more technical ground was gained in both, you know, the broad commodity indices like the CRB or the equal weight commodity index, which we look at. Until a significant technical ground was regained there, we're certainly in the mode where we'd be selling any significant rallies there. Same thing with crude oil.
All right, let's wrap it up with a quick comment on the bond market. We saw yields bounce just a few weeks ago, but now they've started to trend down again. And even the 10-year is starting to test out the lower level from earlier this year, which is about 1.43%. And we can just go back to 2016 when we saw 1.336% on the 10-year. Do you think that these levels will hold, or is the trend lower for yields for bonds, even short and long term?
Well, as you know, we did we were of the buy the dip mentality for bonds as well as precious metals. So last time we talked, I think was just about the high day in yields, the 10 and 30 year, and we were buyers that day, or maybe it was the following day, and we've seen a nice pullback in yields. Right now, we're testing some key spots, testing the 61 Fibonacci retracement in both the 10 and 30 year yields, which is the most important Fibonacci number right now. So looking at on the 10 year around the 160 level, is key. Now we're trying to break down below that. If we break down below that decisively, then we're probably headed down to perhaps new lows. And on the 30-year, we're looking around 208 as the key potential support level in yields. If we break decisively there, then we're probably heading down to test or even make new lows again there in yields and new highs in prices. So we do maintain a constructive view in the intermediate term on bonds. But again, we would be taking a little bit off the table right here if we were trading bonds, which we are, and we did take some profits yesterday and today in the bond market. So we again, that's a short term play, but longer term, like you mentioned, if we decisively break these levels, then we're probably heading to new lows there in the bond market yields, I should say.
Okay, very interesting there, Dana. Great having you on the show. Thanks for sharing some of your short-term and long-term outlooks. It's important, I think, especially right now, to decipher between the both of them, because it's a very different picture for some traders when it comes to short and long-term outlooks, but these long-term trends do need to be noted. Dana, thanks for your time this weekend. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks a lot, Corey. You too.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.